And we are church planters to Hawaii. And of course, when you think of Hawaii, usually the word that comes to mind is the word vacation. Because that's what people do there, you know? And people do go there for 1 or 2 weeks, but then they eventually go home. But for the 1.4 million people there in Hawaii, Hawaii is home. And God has called my family and I to plant a church there back on the island of Oahu. You see, Oahu alone holds 71% of our state's population. That's 1 million people living on that tiny little island there in the Pacific. And it contains people who are struggling with many different things. People who struggle with finances. People who struggle with drug addictions. Family problems. Social issues. And the thing that I like to try to communicate to churches here on the continental United States is that, you know, Hawaii is not this paradise where everybody's just saved. You know, whether you see on TV, you know, whether it's the Travel Channel or House Hunters, whatever the case may be, they'll show you a picture of Hawaii. They'll show you the hotels, the beach, the palm trees, and all these different things. But really, you know, that is how it looks if you go to the southeast side of our island, go to Waikiki Beach, and the hotels and the palm trees are all there. But if you head to the west side of our island, you'll see something a little bit different. In Waianae, Makaha, Nanakuli, you know, you'll see the beautiful beaches there, but on top of the beaches are literally homeless communities. I mean, literally tent after tent after tent, you know, sometimes tarps just strung from one tree to another, people just living there. Some of these people are just average, everyday people. Just they can't afford, you know, to live there. But the thing is, you know, you take a look at statistics you'll see in the video in just a moment. 56% of the population there in Hawaii believes in the belief of no belief. They don't have a religious affiliation. It means every other person you meet there in Hawaii, they're not concerned about heaven. They're not concerned about hell. They're not concerned about the eternal destination. And the rest of the population can believe in anything from Catholicism all the way to Hinduism. You know, but the thing is, even though Hawaii has many obstacles and even though Hawaii has many challenges that almost makes it seemingly impossible to serve a church there, we do serve a God that can do the impossible. And I am thankful that I can stand here and say within the past 5 years, we've seen 6 new churches started in Hawaii, 3 of them being on the island of Oahu. But the thing is, that's still not enough. Hawaii needs more churches. Hawaii needs the gospel. Hawaii needs salvation. You know, just like this city and just like this state needs Christ, Hawaii needs Christ as well. And in just a moment, we'll be showing our video, and in our video, it goes through the missions work that was done in Hawaii over 200 years ago. And then it'll fast forward and show you how people truly and really do live in paradise. But then also, it'll tell you how God has worked in our life and the call that he's given us to do. And I hope you enjoy the video. I hope it answers some of the questions you may have about Hawaii or about our ministry. But I'd like to challenge you with this. You know, as you watch the video, I challenge you not to focus on the sceneries of Hawaii, but instead, I encourage you to focus on the faces. You know, focus on the people of Hawaii. Because that's the reason why we're going to be going there. To be able to see this new work started and to make a difference that will last for eternity. So at this time, show the video.
Thousands of people have driven by day after day without thinking about the books that are in.
Or at this time, if you do have any questions about either our family or about our ministry there in Hawaii, definitely feel free to raise your hand, and I'll do my best to answer your question. She was faking me out back there. Yes, ma'am.
Do you remember the exact moment that you were certain that you were going back to Hawaii?
Yes, ma'am. Pretty much. When I do believe God called me to go back to Hawaii, it's pretty much in my freshman year of Bible college. And it was pretty much to kind of tell you the backstory, I guess, to it. I grew up there at I got saved at Ko'olau in November 2003. And kind of when I was there, the mindset that I wanted to do was I wanted to become a policeman. I wanted to join the FBI eventually if I went to college. And so that was kind of my mindset. But a team, right before I graduated from high school, a team from West Coast came out to Hawaii to conduct a youth conference. And pretty much they said, why don't you just give 1 year to God? You know, go to Bible college for 1 year and get better grounded in God's word. And so I thought that would be an excellent idea. You know, here I am coming out of college, and before I go into, you know, starting life, career, all those different things, why not just go to Bible college and try to get a better foundation of God's word, but also, you know, serve in a ministry, and wherever God places me, I can be better used for him there. And so I kind of went with that, and it was there my freshman year of Bible college, I really believed that God was calling to me to go back to Hawaii to see more churches started, because when I first got saved there in November 2003, I remember inviting one of my friends to come to church with me. He lived in Hawaii Kai, where Pastor Soto is. And I remember telling him, you know, you should come to my church. He's like, oh, man, it's too far. In Hawaii, the mentality is if it's 10 to 15 minute drive, it's kind of far away. It's getting 15, 20 is like really pushing it. And so especially for church, I mean, people wouldn't drive that far. And so I told him, hey, you should come. He said, I can't. It's too far away. I said, well, there has to be a church there where you are then. I mean, it has to be. And he said, no, there's not. And I was like, no way. So I took it up upon myself. I Googled it. Couldn't find anything. And I went to my youth pastor, went to my pastor. They didn't know of anybody that was there. And, you know, it was that day that I realized that there was such a great need for more churches in Hawaii. But the thing was, I didn't feel like I was the one to do that. I didn't feel qualified. I didn't feel like I was the one that, you know, would be perfect for that. And so I kind of blew it off and said, that's probably somebody else's job. But it was there my freshman year of Bible college that God began to work in my heart and say, Travis, I mean, here you are from Hawaii. You know, here you are at Bible college. I mean, who else, you know, would be a better candidate to go back to Hawaii to see another church started? And so it was there in my freshman year of Bible college that I really submitted to God's call in my life to go back to Hawaii to see more churches started. So, good question. Any other questions? The greatest obstacle when we do go there would probably be a building, getting property to meet in. I was talking with the pastor there, as he was saying, you know, Pastor Soto, he spent quite a while trying to find a building. I mean, I know he was I forget where it was, but it was filming for like 6 months, and he couldn't find anything because Hawaii is just so expensive. You know, we're looking at a place right now right next to Kailua in a place called Waimanalo, and it's 1,700 square feet, and it's $4,200 a month. And that's a good deal. Like, that's not too bad. I mean, it's not too much, not too little of it. It's kind of in that right spot. And so, but there's not too many spaces like that. Usually, if it's a big space, it's a big amount of money. You know, if it's cheaper, it's smaller. And so that's the challenge. That's one of the biggest challenges, to find a place to meet. And they do have schools there, but now the schools are becoming more hostile toward churches meeting in there. And it's never consistent. I mean, they could just say, hey, we got something this Sunday, so you can't meet. And just like that, you can't meet. So you got to kind of figure it out after that. And so definitely one of our bigger prayer requests is that God will provide to us just the perfect building, like we saw with Pastor Soto, like we saw with the missionary you support, Pastor King, there in Kaka'ako. Just amazing situations where that shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have worked out like that. But God provided and God made a way. And so we praise the Lord for that. And so, but definitely do pray for that. Pray for our building. That's definitely one of the bigger prayer requests that we do have and will have. So, yes, ma'am. Kailua, because I grew up there, so I remember, you know, maybe about 20 years ago and whatnot, I can remember how it was. And Kailua used to be this kind of quiet beach town, And now it's becoming more of a tourist town. People are getting kind of bored of Waikiki and Waikiki Beach and stuff, and so they want to go to Kailua, and that's adventurous and away from Waikiki. And so, but even though that is the case, even though we're getting more tourists, just kind of island-wide, we're getting more homeless. Many because, you know, it's funny enough, it's proven that they've actually had some northern states, you know, like the colder states, Wisconsin, you know, all those Montana, all those colder states, they actually do buy one-way tickets for their homeless and send them to Hawaii to live there because they can live there. You know, they can make it on the beach, have a tent, or maybe not even a tent, maybe just literally live under a tree or whatever, and they can make it. And so because of that, you know, we have a lot, we have like, just the per capita is what it is. It's kind of, the government is overloaded. They don't know what to do. And some of these people, they don't want help. You know, you can provide them housing, food, everything, but they're saying, you know, I don't want that. And so it's a difficult challenge. And Kailua is probably not as high as some other areas. But just even top of my head, I can think of a couple that I've seen. Just, they've always been there, you know, especially one that's always been there for 20 years. You know? So it's like, it's the kind of thing, it's something that we're going to have to, it's probably going to get worse and worse as the years go by, but we'll just see and see what God opens, you know, what opportunities God gives to us, so. Good question. Yes?
When you first get there, you see that you are already integrated with culture there. Mm-hmm. What is your game plan for reaching the students? Are you going to start with the children? Are you going to try to go straight up to the family? What is kind of your game plan when you get there?
Definitely, we do have on our website, it's called The Plan. Very original name, but it's kind of like our goals, what we like to accomplish, and of course, all of this is just kind of guidelines for us. I mean, I know in one of the stages, we get a van, and we start a van ministry. Well, if day one, somebody says, hey, I have this van, you want it? Day one, we got a van ministry going, you know, kind of a thing. But pretty much, we're praying that by January 2019, that we can go back to Hawaii and be there, and then pretty much 11 weeks later, see the church established in April or May. And so that gives us about 11 weeks, and during that 11-week period, we'll be door knocking, a ton of door knocking, passing out flyers, doing those direct mail kind of things as well, too. Just trying to get the word out to people that there's a new church in town. And for the most part, what we're going to be focusing on is really everybody. I mean, that's the kind of thing. I mean, usually in Hawaii, how it breaks down is, are you going to either reach the local people or are you going to reach the military? You know, especially on Oahu, are you going to reach the local people or the military? Each have pros and cons. The pro of the military is they're always going to come. They're always going to be there. They got that discipline in them, but 3 years later, they're out of there. You know, they PCS out. Local people, it takes more time to build that trust up, to build things. But once you get them, they're locked in. You know, and that's where they live. And so they'll be there with you for the long run. And so definitely it's just a mixture of both. You can't do too much or too little of one. And so pretty much from especially even Kailua right by a Marine Corps base. And so we have that almost a perfect mixture, 50-50, of local and military as well, too. And so definitely just from the forefront, try to reach as many as possible. And, you know, in whatever venue or whatever a way that God allows us, you know, gives us maybe, he gives us a van ministry. We're going to be trying to reach some kids, of course, try to get more kids on that van, you know, things like that. Whatever God provides, we're just going to say, hey, that's the direction that he wants us to go. We're going to follow after that. But that's kind of like our game plan. You can take a look at the plan on our website. And it shows you, like, pretty much, I think, 7 years out from the church plant, 7 years out, what our goals are, what we're praying about. And I would appreciate it if you go on there and do pray specifically for those different things, that in God's timing, he would bring it so that we can accomplish those goals that we've set out and, you know, just continue to have God guide us as we do that. So, yeah. That's a good question. Any other questions that you have out there? Yes, ma'am. Pretty much, when we were there, we rented a 700-square-foot house or studio for $900 a month. And so we were renting that whole time. And pretty much when we get there, we're going to have to look for either a place to rent or possibly a place to purchase. But that purchasing would be pretty much all of our money. And then my mom would sell her place, and she would come live with us in an in-law suite. And that's very popular there in Hawaii, especially with the Japanese culture. You have it's not uncommon to have three generations living under the same roof. And so, but it's not just a cultural thing for, you know, the Japanese, but it's becoming more of a economic thing for all the people there, because it's just so hard for a young couple to go out and purchase. You know, as you saw in the video, it says $730,000. It's actually gone up last, I think 2 months ago, the average became 800,000. And so it's just an enormous amount. And there's many variables to it, reasons why it's like that. But it's definitely it's another thing to pray about as well. Like I said, property for the church is definitely a big thing. But of course, property for us to live, you know, finding the really great deal, that's what we're looking for. So, yes, ma'am. Technically, in Hawaii, the official language of our state is English and Hawaiian, Native Hawaiian. But the thing is, in Hawaii, pretty much most people, they speak mostly English, but inside the language, they put in Hawaiian words. You know, and like I was telling Anthony, we were there at the Hawaiian restaurant. It's called Ono Hawaiian Food or something like Ono Hawaiian Barbecue. Ono means delicious. And so you would say, oh, that food is very ono. You know, it's very yummy. Or if you say, well, that guy is very akamai, he's very smart. You know, it's just put in, it kind of integrated into the language there. And so that's kind of how Hawaiian is used predominantly today. But they also, we were talking too, they have this pidgin language. And instead of saying the food is ono, delicious, you say, oh, brah, that food's broke the mouth, yeah? And so it's a little bit different, you know? Definitely in the mainland, people be like, what? But the idea is it's so yummy that you're chewing, 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 and your mouth breaks because it's so good. And so that's the idea behind it. But they have that language as well, too, that people do speak probably more often. And, I mean, you can pick it up with the gist of what they're getting, especially if you're not familiar with it. With me, it comes out. I mean, I don't speak it fluently like some people do, but it comes out of me because of a public elementary school, getting with the other kids and talking like that. But of course, on Hawaii, there's multiple languages, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Tagalog, you know. I mean, you could take your pick. And we're endeavoring, at least I am, and my wife's endeavoring trying to learn ASL, sign language, and I'm endeavoring to learn Tagalog. Just to be a help, 33% of the people there in Hawaii speak Tagalog, and so it'd be a benefit to learn another language and be, you know, being able to talk to somebody in their own. So, what?
Okay, hello.
Mahalo, yeah, no problem.
One more
last question. So this means this has to be a good one, the grand finale. Unless there's not, then. All right. And of course, if you do, maybe next week you're like, oh, I have the perfect question for the missionary, but how in the world am I going to talk? And how am I going to get in contact with him? You can definitely email the question, Facebook us the question. I mean, there's so many different venues you can contact us, call us. I mean, we'd love to answer your questions for you. And definitely just take a look at our prayer card. We do have our numbers on there, email on there. There's many different ways to contact us, and we'd love to answer those questions for you. So, oh, I think we have one last one. Yes, sir.
Is that for the tourists, the monorail, or is that going to be for locals?
The problem is they're trying to solve the traffic problem. Okay. We have too many cars on our roads there in Hawaii. And so because of that, they're trying to push people to bus. They're trying to push people to the tram system. They've also had one time a ferry going from just one part of Oahu to the other part, you know, going across Pearl Harbor because you can't build a freeway over Pearl Harbor. So they went around. And so they're just trying to figure out different ways to do it. But it is used a lot because people don't want to spend 2 hours in traffic and 3 hours in traffic, you know, just going a couple miles. So. Exactly, that is correct. That would definitely be one of the better venues because you just have traffic all day. I mean, people just, even my mom, she would commute. She lived in Kailua. She would take the bus to town because it's just less stress. I mean, you don't have to worry about stuff. Just go into town, go to work, back on the bus, and you're good. So, but, thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Now, the ushers get ready for our love offering tonight.